$875 to construct a parking lot and rehabilitate the runway. The Creston Municipal Airport will receive $218,500 to construct a building in which to store snow removal equipment. The Greenfield Municipal Airport will receive $66,500 to update the airport's master plan to help identify the airport's future needs. And the Shenandoah Municipal Airport will receive $76,000 to construct a taxiway. The largest award of $1.53 million will go to the Ankeny Regional Airport, which will be used to improve the runway safety area. And the Washington Municipal Airport will also get more than $1 million to rehabilitate its runway. I'll have more news in just a moment. News time is 8:01.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now, 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, the Iowa Department of Transportation says they'll be closing the Ottawa rest areas along Interstate 29 so they can be used as staging areas for crews who are battling Missouri River flooding. The department says the northbound rest area will be closed tomorrow morning, and the southbound rest area at Ottawa closed sometime on Thursday. Today, the crews will begin stockpiling rock in the truck parking area of the northbound Ottawa rest area. The stockpiling will take place in the southbound rest area on Wednesday. The DOT says the rest areas will remain closed up to 10 days. The American Red Cross has closed one of its 24-hour shelters for Nebraska and Iowa victims of Missouri River flooding. The Red Cross says there is no current major need for a shelter at Missouri Valley. The two 24-hour Nebraska shelters are at Fort Calhoun High School in Fort Calhoun, north of Omaha, and in southeast Nebraska at Piru State College in Piru. The remaining 24-hour shelter in Iowa is at the Sydney High School in Sydney. The other shelters are on standby in Cass, Cedar, Dixon, Douglas, Sarpy, and Thurston counties in Nebraska and Pottawatomie County here in Iowa. Heavy rains and record snowpack are forcing the largest ever water release from the Gavins Point Dam near Yankton, South Dakota, which is causing Missouri River flooding. Releases from the dam are around 1.1 million gallons per second. Dave Becker, operations manager for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers at Gavins Point, says that flow rate is just an estimate.
We have rating curves for our spillway gates that are, you know, calculated out, but you really don't know exactly for sure what you are releasing until the U.S. Geological Survey goes down to a fixed point and measures that flow. And so there's a little bit of a trial and error anytime we use these spillway gates, and we have to do a little fine-tuning to get it right.
Becker says the high flow requires the Corps to do more inspections and day-to-day work.
There are some different maintenance requirements that we have, you know, with the increased flows, and one of those is some of our protected shorelines below the dam need additional work. So we have a crew down there doing additional rocking and reshaping the rocking and so forth on both shores just to protect our facilities as well as we can.
He says the high flows from Fort Randall Dam upstream are creating challenges near the face of Gavins Point Dam.
These high flows are really bringing a lot more debris into the lake, and some of that's accumulating in front of our power plants, so we have a crew in there with our barge, tugboat, and crane removing the logs and some of the other material that are accumulating in the power plant.
The dam's current flow rate at 150,000 cubic feet per second will stay at that rate until mid-August at least, the highest releases since the dam went into operation back in the late 1950s. The western Iowa town of Modale has pulled out air conditioners, hauled out refrigerators, and made plans to relocate for weeks or months in anticipation of Missouri River flooding. Now the residents are wondering, where's the water? Many of the town's 300 residents have cleared out of their homes, prompted by warnings that parts of Modale could receive 2 to 4 feet of water, but so far nothing has happened. Residents say they're frustrated by the uncertainty and question whether officials overstated the danger. Debbie Horan manages the United Western Sea Store. She said that the residents were worked into a panic when they heard the projections and now have scattered to other communities. And she says it's unclear when or if people will return. The Missouri River floodwaters have peaked in western Iowa, at least for now, while a state request for federal disaster declaration has headed east. State Emergency Management Division spokesman John Benson says the governor's request for the federal declaration for six counties first went to the FEMA Region 7.
I can say that we've been notified that it has already left Region 7, and it is out in Washington, D.C., being evaluated out there. So hopefully we'll hear within the next day or two back from FEMA and the president if he has decided to grant that presidential disaster declaration request.
The request covers Fremont, Harrison, Mills, Monona, Pottawatomie, and Woodbury counties. Benson says the governor asked for a major disaster declaration.
The request was for public assistance, which is seeking to provide funding for helping on public infrastructure damage and also costs associated with emergency protective measures that have been undertaken by the state and by the localities up to this point in time.
Benson says the price tag for building levees and filling sandbags to try and protect public infrastructure from the rising Missouri River is already in the double-digit millions.
Our preliminary damage assessment teams were able to identify in excess of $10 million of eligible costs under that. That does not include any infrastructure-related damages that have occurred due to the flood, quite simply because we're not able to get to those yet, but we've met some of the minimum requirements for receiving that major disaster declaration just based on the protective actions that the state and the locals have undertaken up to this date.
The presidential disaster declaration would also put some long-term federal recovery programs into motion. More heavy storms crossed Iowa last night, bringing at least three reports of tornadoes along with heavy rain, hail, and high winds. Meteorologist Craig Coghill of the National Weather Service said there were scattered reports of damage across the state.
Most of them were wind damage, where we saw some trees down, tree limbs down, and that was the majority of our reports. We did have a few hail reports.
The highest winds were clocked in northwest Iowa's Woodbury County at 70 miles per hour. Tornadoes were reported in Plymouth County near Kingsley, in Polk County near Valeria, and in Hardin County near Eldora. The damage was still being assessed there this morning, but no injuries were reported. In western Iowa, thunderstorm wind damage was reported to have occurred near Logan and Missouri Valley at around 8:30 p.m. Monday, near Mapleton and Little Sioux at around 8:45 p.m., and then again at 9:15 p.m., and near Carroll at just about 10:15 p.m. Winds gusting up to 60 miles per hour were reported near Red Oak at around 9:25 p.m. and in Cumberland at around 9:50 p.m. A Macedonia man wanted in connection with the shooting of a rural Minden woman late last week was arrested Saturday morning nearly 350 miles away in central Missouri after authorities in the Ivy Bend area located an allegedly stolen SUV he was driving and began conducting surveillance on the residents. According to Pottawatomie County Sheriff Jeff Danker, 50-year-old Craig Finney was taken into custody in Morgan County, Missouri. Finney was wanted in connection with the shooting early Friday morning of 48-year-old Patricia Harker.
Morgan County Sheriff's Office did locate the vehicle, and they were able to get a search warrant for the place. They were, I guess, what I understand, they were going to get a search warrant for the place, and then about 7 o'clock in the morning, he went to leave, and they stopped him and then arrested him for the charges.
Finney allegedly broke into Harker's home at around 2:20 a.m. Friday and fired his shotgun at another man holed up in the bathroom before turning the weapon on Harker and shooting her in the shoulder. He then shot himself before leaving the scene of the crime. Harker was transported to Mercy Hospital in Council Bluffs before being transferred to the Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha, where she was recovering from serious injuries. Finney was being treated for his injuries at a facility in Missouri. Danker said he's simply amazed the man managed to make it to central Missouri, given the nature of his injuries.
I just can't hardly believe that they could he could make it that far with the condition that he had to be in. I'm sure he's got some fairly serious injuries, but I don't know how bad it is.
When he's eventually returned to Iowa, Finney will face two felony charges of attempted murder and one felony charge of willful injury. Finney was Harker's former boyfriend. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, former Utah Governor John Huntsman is promising policies to create jobs, achieve energy independence, and overhaul the tax code as he officially launches his Republican presidential candidacy. In excerpts of this morning's announcement speech released by his campaign, Huntsman says he respects President Barack Obama, but that he and the president have a, quote, difference of opinion on how to help the country they both love. Senator John McCain is recommending only a modest drawdown of U.S. troops from Afghanistan. In network interviews this morning, McCain said that with one more fighting season, we can get this thing pretty well wrapped up. He criticized President Obama's timetable for beginning troop withdrawals in July, saying it should never have been set to start with. Obama plans to announce the July drawdown tomorrow. While firefighters make progress on major blazes in Arizona, a wildfire in Florida has killed two Division of Forestry firefighters and injured two others. The deaths occurred yesterday in Hamilton County in northern Florida. The fire had been declared contained but flared up again yesterday. Tourists have hunkered down in hotels today as Hurricane Beatriz brushed Mexico's resort-studded Pacific coast. Powerful rains and winds flooded streets as authorities closed popular tourist ports and urged hotel owners to tell guests not to go to the beach. And the renowned Stradivarius violin has sold for $16 million at a London auction to raise money for tsunami disaster relief. The proceeds from selling the nearly 300-year-old violin known as the Lady Blunt will go to relief projects in northern Japan. The nonprofit Nippon Foundation says its music affiliate owned the violin, which was made in 1721 and hardly used. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing, Heating, and Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In our funeral announcement, 78-year-old Shirley Davis of Avoca died Monday at her home. Funeral services for Shirley Davis will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the United Church of Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. 92-year-old Marvin Westfall of Fontenelle died Sunday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Marvin Westfall will be on Thursday at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home of Fontenelle has arrangements. 102-year-old Floyd Everett Sherburn of Marietta, Georgia, and formerly of Guthrie Center, died June the 12th. Funeral services for Floyd Sherburn will be held Friday at 1 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center. 77-year-old Glenn Eldon Rocoles of Greenfield and formerly of Adair died May the 25th at the Greenfield Manor. Graveside services and burial for Glenn Rocoles will be on Saturday at 11 a.m. in the Canby Cemetery, with the Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield in charge of arrangements. 63-year-old Greg Barnett of Atlantic died Saturday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Visitation with the family of Greg Barnett will be held next Monday from 10:30 until 11:30 a.m. at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. 88-year-old Lavona Brown of Des Moines and formerly of Atlantic and Audubon died Sunday at the Colonial Manor in Oneida. There are no services scheduled for Lavona Brown. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic is assisting the Hamilton Funeral Home in Des Moines with the arrangements. And 94-year-old Isla Knudsen of Harlan died Sunday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Services for Isla Knudsen are pending at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Our news and funeral announcements brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.